first, I want to thank Jason. He's not here this morning, but I talked with several of you. I think all of us were very happy with the way he brought the sermon these past 2 weeks, this section of Luke. I greatly appreciated his style and the content. I believe he did an excellent job of exposing God's word and bringing light to the text. And so we continue now in God's word in this Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. And so we're continuing forward. This morning, the lesson is really going to be on verses 16 to 21, but I'm probably going to bring out all the way going back because there's a section that has to do with hearing and listening, and I want us to see it all in its context. And so often, you know, as Jason brought out really good things out of those parables, there's something beyond the parables, even in the fact that this whole section, our God wants us to hear something this morning. And so he brought out the parables, Jason did last week, the accounts of Luke in chapter 8. And what's interesting is you can find the same parables, kind of the same sections in other gospels. Mark, you find it in chapter 4. Matthew, you find it in chapter 13. And as we studied Mark's gospel a couple of years ago, what you find when you're studying Mark's gospel is that the way it's written is kind of this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And it's kind of a sequence of activity. And there's linkage, but it's really kind of just a series of actions and activities and sayings of Jesus. Matthew is similar to Mark, except in Matthew expounds. Whenever Jesus is speaking, Matthew expounds on it. The Sermon on the Mount in Matthew is huge, you know, and each of the sermons and the places where he teaches, they're bigger and they're brought out. Luke is different, and we've talked about Luke's differences before. Luke is concerned in sequence only in so much as that sequence gives you a foundation because he's building out this point that he's making. He seems to be concerned with the progressive building of the Christian message. Why? Because he wants the reader at the end of this to know with certainty the things that have been taught. And so it seems like he pulls some of these different things together into a section so that you really get kind of bombarded with that concept or that theme that he's teaching on at the time. So in Luke's gospel, we see tracts and themes that are well developed and they're built out for us. Some examples that we've talked about in the past, the recurrent questions that Luke asks progressively throughout the entire gospel. Who is this Jesus? What has he been sent to do? And what does that have to do with me? Right? Throughout the entire gospel of Luke, you're going to see those questions asked in various different ways again and again and again. Who is he? What's he come for? Why do I care? Other themes that Luke brings out, we've talked about his way of balancing the teaching and accounts of both men and women. Whenever he gives an account of a man, he usually gives an account of a woman, and you see this balance of back and forth so that there's this message, more so in Luke's gospel than any other gospels, that this gospel is for everyone in the church. The way he builds out the revelation of all that Jesus is, the way he shows how Jesus drew, called, equipped, commissioned, and then began training his disciples. In Luke, it's very definitive. The way he shows the progressive enmity that's developing between the scribes and the Pharisees, we see that building in intensity as we go through. And so these themes that he brings out, he does so in a way that you don't just see it and kind of pass on. You see it, you hear it, you understand it, and then it builds on the next theme that he's kind of building. And so you see that there's just a sense as he's bringing out this gospel that at the end of it, you're going to know the gospel. You're going to understand what's been taught to you. And that's his intent. He states it up front. So that you might be sure. That you might know this truth of the gospel. So this morning I want you to see the full theme that God through his spirit in the writing of Luke brings in totality to chapter 8. And so we're going to start this morning in the reading with verse 4 to bring it all the way to 21. And I want you to listen closely to this theme of listening closely. Chapter 4, 8, verse 4. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they're in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. When the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these who have no root, they believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Do you see that theme? Do you see how he brings it out? You have these different pictures, different stories, but there's a theme that he carries all the way through it all. And that theme is, how are you hearing? Are you listening? You might be hearing my voice, but are you hearing my words? You might be hearing my words, but are you understanding them? You might be understanding them, but are you accepting them? You might be accepting them, but are you believing them? Believing them leads to, are you actively applying them, right? Hearing isn't just hearing the audible sound of my voice. Hearing is actually taking what I'm saying and mulling it over and considering it and then applying it. And so that's what this whole section is all about. This theme, this thrust that he has. And so in verses 4-8, Jesus gives the parable to the crowd. A sower sows the seed. We know from the parables, we know from the last couple weeks, the seed is the word of God. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the good news of the kingdom that has come. Some falls in good soil, and it grows and it yields fruit. But much of it, right, if you look at it, it's maybe 75% of it. 3 out of the 4 lands in bad soil. 1 out of the 4 falls into good soil. Much falls in bad soil. It's trampled, it's taken away, it's withered, it's choked, it doesn't grow, and there's no fruit. Jason brought this out. But I want you to pay attention to what Jesus said to the crowd at the end of the parable. He said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Right? We usually pay so much attention to the parable, we don't listen to what he said. After he gives the parable, he gives us a little story and he says, "Are you listening?" He looks at the crowd and he says, "Those that are hearing me, hear. Let him hear." And there's kind of this intimation that all these folks that were listening to Jesus Christ preach, listening to the Son of God give this lesson, some were checked out. Some weren't listening. Can you imagine being in the presence of Jesus and kind of going, what? And you know, I put a note to myself because I pictured there's some people that went, what, ears? Ears, I have ears. Yeah, I what? Right? You ever been in that? You ever been in a sermon and just a word hits you and you kind of go, I know that word. And then you take that word and then you go back off into the land that you were in, right? And then the pastor's goes on while you're in your mind mulling over this other word. I think it's happened to all of us probably. Some of us it happens week by week. How many times do we sit there and say, "I'm hearing, but I don't get it"? And they checked out, and it proves his point. I remember listening to sermons early on, and I would do that all the time. I would check in and check out. I would leave the sermon and go off to places in my own head. And then afterwards, people would say, well, were you listening? Yeah, and I could pull out a word. I could pull out a sentence, right? Because every once in a while, I remember Pastor Cecil, every once in a while, Cecil would get really loud, and he'd slam. And I'd listen for a couple of minutes, and then I'd drift away again, right? I think it happens to all of us. We do that. It happened even when Jesus was teaching. We know it happened when Paul was teaching. So it isn't just blamed on me as your pastor. Some of the blame rests with you. We're really bad listeners. Verses 9 to 15, Jesus then explains more to this inner circle of disciples, the ones who did have ears, the ones who were listening. And he says, you guys, he brings forward this Isaiah 6 passage to them. And he says, you know, this is a generation that sees and they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear. We all understand that, don't we? We live in a generation like that. I was talking to a few people this week, talking to them about before they were saved, before they had Christ, before they had the Holy Spirit at work in their life. And I said, do you remember when you used to read the Bible? You're like, yeah. You'd read and read and read, and it was just words. Words ad nauseum. Every once in a while, there's a fun story about someone getting cut up with a sword. Every once in a while, there was something interesting about a slingshot and a giant. But overall, a lot of words. People would listen to preachers before they were saved. Go to church. Many of us grew up in a church, sitting there doodling, filling in the little circles on the bulletins, and doing everything we could do to not go crazy, sitting there listening to this guy talk for 40 minutes about nothing. Christian parents or friends so excited, coming to you with a verse or a teaching, and they start telling you about it. Words. And you just didn't get it. Remember those days? I think all of us, before we were saved, can remember those days. Some of us, even after being saved, have some of those days, I think. It's interesting, as I was preparing this isn't really a side note, this is kind of just an anecdote. As preparing this, I thought, I have a really good pastor friend that I do some things with, and one of the things that came to me as I was looking at this is he is a great listener. He's really, really a good listener. He not only listens as I share kind of insights to him and things, but he draws them out. Do you ever spend time with someone who is just a great listener and you tend to go deeper in your conversation? You tend to bring out things more because you can tell that they're listening. You can tell that they value them, and so you tend to speak higher. You tend to think more before you speak, and the conversation becomes weightier. It has more content. Every time I'm with him, I feel smarter because he draws things out that are inside that I wouldn't normally think about or share. He asks questions. And then when he asks the questions, he waits for an answer. See, so many of us, when we listen, we actually are asking questions to drive them to what we want to talk about. Right? We kind of prod them along because we're preparing our response versus listening. We don't listen to understand. We don't listen to take in anymore. And what he does is he asks questions, he waits for the answer, and then I can see him, he stops talking, and he considers it. And you can see him scratch his head, and then once he considers it, he appreciates it. And then he basically accepts it, right? If it's something that he's discerned to be good, he says, I'm going to take that. And then he looks for ways to change his life with it. You know, I've never thought about it that way. This is going to change this. I'm going to add this to this. Gosh, it's so great to talk to someone like that. Someone that listens. I find it a great joy to be with him. I look forward to those times. I think we all do, right? We find when someone's listening, we speak more clearly, more carefully, more with more weight. And as I thought about him, I found how rare it is. He's my one friend that does that, right? I look around and I think, gosh, I have all these friends, but I have this one friend that really does this really well. And I thought how rare it is for people today to listen, because we listen only for what we want to hear. We listen to only things that drive our passions, right? We'll listen long enough till they upset us. We'll listen long enough until we disagree. We'll listen long enough, but we will never listen all the way through to understand their position. We'll never listen all the way through to really comprehend what they're saying. We're really cruddy at listening. We're really good at shouting. And you can see it in our culture. The volume is so loud. Everyone complains about Washington. Oh, they can't come together. You know why? They don't listen. No one's listening to each other anymore. And so the volume is so loud just to be heard. That's the culture we live in, and it's penetrated even the church. People are so loud, they're so brash, they're so far to one side or the other because we don't listen. We don't allow, when we do listen, for things to sink in. We don't stop and consider. We don't discern. We don't mull things over. We're quick to speak. I think some of it is we're all texters now, right? And if we're not texters, we're Twittering or we're tweeting, sorry. We're doing all this stuff, right? We're flash pictures. We're now, we don't even give you a picture to keep, right? It's just a picture that comes up there for 5 seconds. Going, look what I'm doing. And can you send it back? No, it's gone. Right? And so we're in this like flash moment where whatever we're thinking, whatever we're talking, we can just flash it out. We never stop and think and consider and allow it to settle in. And so this morning, I mean, this is a long side note, but I'm telling you, this is a real problem culturally, and it's a real problem spiritually. Because the same things we're doing in this culture, we're doing with the Lord, we're doing with His work. And some of you have already checked out this morning. Think about it. When you're reading your word, the first two sentences are clear, and then you get to the bottom of the page, and you're kind of like, what? Well, I got through it. I was supposed to read a chapter today. I did. We're not thinking when we're listening. We're not thinking when we're reading. We need to slow down, and we need to stop about this. We just don't do it anymore. We don't listen to God. Be silent and know that I am God. How often do we do that? To hear, to understand, to believe, to hold fast, to apply, to allow God's word to change us. We don't get anywhere there because we didn't hear it in the first place. Right? We can't get through the parable because we can't get to the end, which is those that have the good soil, those that really hear. At the end of it, they have fruit. It starts, though, with hearing. That's why Jesus at the end, he says, those who have ears, hear. Listen. Jason spoke a lot to you about the soils. I'm not going to go into it. This morning, I just want you to look at one last thing in that section. It's the attribute used to show if the soil was good or if the soil was bad. What's the attribute of the soil that tells you if it was good soil or bad soil? It was hearing. Right? This parable is about hearing. The good soil, hearing the word, taking the seed, holding it fast, bearing fruit with patience. The bad soil in verse 12, the hard ground, right? The soil where the seed never got in, it heard with no belief. Verse 13, this was the rocky ground, no root. It heard, but fell away. Verse 14, the thorny ground, the place where there was too much competing, too many other thoughts, too many other things that were grabbing hold of all those ideas. That was places where it was heard, but there was no fruit that was born because the plant got choked away. So good hearing equates to good soil. Understanding, belief and acceptance, holding fast, bearing fruit, that's a sign of good soil. That's a sign that the seed takes root and grows. Going back, when Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear," he wasn't just looking for audible reception of his voice. When Jesus says, "Those who have ears, let him hear," do you understand what the fullness of that is now? What the whole context of what he was asking? Those who have ears, hear and believe. Believe and accept. Accept and hold fast. Hold fast and bear fruit. That's hearing. That's what he expects. Allow what you hear to change your life. Allow what you hear to actually have authority, if it's God's word, to move you and to change you. Do something with it. Right? That was one of the commentaries. It says, to hear and to do nothing with it means you didn't really hear, or you didn't believe, or you didn't hold fast, or you didn't accept. Right? There was a problem with it somewhere, because if you heard what Jesus said and it was compelling and you did nothing with it, something's wrong. That's kind of the segue, isn't it, into this next section. When Jesus says, those who have ears, let him hear, he wants what's being heard to have an effect in your life. And so now that's a good segue into our section that we're going to open up today. Look how it tracks to this thrust that Luke is making, that Christ is making, that God is making. And I will warn you in advance, a lot of us like this little section about the little light with a jar, right? And we love the little song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine." I'm going to ruin it for you today, because the thrust of that song isn't necessarily the way this is brought in Luke's gospel. In fact, when you see this light under a jar, it's kind of frightening and compelling. What Jesus does with it. Most of you know the song, right? That first grade Sunday school lesson that you were taught about this little light of mine. The teaching we received was that we should let our light shine. At school, in our neighborhood, with friends, we should let our light shine. Share Jesus. Read our Bible. Be kind and obedient. And I will tell you, it's good teaching. Sometimes I say that was bad teaching that you got. No, that was good teaching. It was really good first grade teaching. Lots of applications. First grader side note. Within this first grade teaching and this first grade understanding, we find ourselves quite frequently as those who do hide it, who do let Satan poof it out, who do hide it under a bushel, don't we? Undercover Christians. We sing that little song when we were in first grade, and we hear that lesson, and we went, "Oh, that's not like me. I'm not like that. I should let my light shine more." And the problem is, 50 years later, you still hear that song, and it still has the same conviction for you that it did in the first grade. Yeah, I'm not really someone that lets my light shine. I still kind of hide it under a bushel most of the time. You're not in first grade anymore. That lesson should have a different context for you than it did when you were in first grade. We felt a little bad for the fact that our light wasn't shining. I should probably do better. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out? No. I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. Convicting to a first grader. You know, even when I was reading this, I guess I'm just a dim bulb because I could do better, but lots of folks are dim bulbs, so I'm not any dimmer than the rest of the dim bulbs that I hang out with. At least I'm not alone in this. Well, hopefully this morning I look around, I don't see many of us still in the first grade. So let's dig a little deeper into the context of this verse. Think of the context that's come before it. Those who have ears, let them hear. Not all who hear are going to hear and understand. Many who hear are going to not believe, and they're not going to accept, and they're not going to hold fast, and they're not going to bear fruit. Some will. Some who hear will, and they'll hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit over time. So the context is, some are going to hear and do nothing, but some are going to hear and they're going to grow. And we come into, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Do you see, beloved, this is not so much a request to let your light shine, right? This isn't a request where he says, you know, you should shine your light more. No, what he's saying is, since you have a light that's been lit, it should be shining. Do you hear the context of that? This isn't, oh, you should feel bad about the fact that it's not shining. No, what he's saying is, it doesn't make sense that it's not shining. What he's saying when he gives this to you is, no one does this. Why in the world would you light a lamp and then hide it? Why in the world in a dark room would you light the lamp and then put a cover over it so you couldn't get the light? What he's saying is, it doesn't make any sense. And in context, he's saying, if you're one of those who have ears and have heard and have grown, you've been given a light. Why is it shining? It doesn't make any sense that it's not shining. There's kind of a warning that comes forth in this, isn't this? If I say I've believed, if I say that I've heard, if I say that I'm a Christian and I think that I'm growing, then I'm no longer in first grade and I shouldn't be still sad about the fact that I've got my light under a bushel. Jesus' point, look at this, it's simple. Verse 6, no one does this. No one lights a lamp and hides it. No one lights a lamp and darkens it. No one lights a lamp and covers it. You light a lamp so that it will shine, so that others can see. That's why you light a lamp. His point is, it doesn't make sense. And so what's the application that comes out of that? The seed, right? If we take the seed is moved to light. So that light is now what's been planted, right? The fruit that's come out of this plant, he's kind of shifted over in metaphor. He's shifted over in this analogy. He wants you to know that now this fruit, part of the fruit, is this light that should be shining forth from this lamp. But instead of planted and growing, it's now lit and glowing. Jesus is saying, if you are good soil with good seed, if you have heard and understand, if you have believed and are holding fast, then your lamp has been lit. And if your lamp has been lit, it doesn't make sense that it's not shining. It's supposed to be seen by all in the house. The seed planted is supposed to bear fruit. Your light's supposed to be shining for others to see, so that there's more seed that goes into more soil. No one lights a lamp and covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed. Doesn't make sense. So, I hope you're listening. If a lamp is not lit to be covered, not lit to be shaded, not lit to be hidden, and yet mine supposedly is lit, yet covered, shaded, and hidden, then I have a problem. Something's wrong. Do you get that message? The outcome is either I'm not functioning as I ought to as a light, or my lamp somehow is faulty, or heaven forbid, my lamp's not lit. Those are what you're left with, right? Wow. This takes a lot of fun out of the song, doesn't it? Right? It consider the point that's being made. Some hear, truly, and some don't. That's the message that's been coming through in this parable. The ones who hear truly are good soil. They believe, they hold fast, they bear fruit, they shine light. The ones who don't are bad soil, and they think that they do, but their soil is bad, and so they get devoured and trampled, and they wither away, and over time they get choked out by everything else, and their light doesn't shine. It's because their lamp wasn't lit. So Jesus says, to those who have ears to hear, hear. And he wants those who've heard to shine. If you've really heard, you should be shining. If your light's not shining, have you really heard? And if you haven't really heard, are you listening now? Are you hearing today? This isn't just Pastor Rob's interpretation of this verse. In order to make a sermon, calling people to really listen, to really hear the gospel, to pay attention. No, look at verse 17. I want you to know this isn't me. This is our Lord. He says, verse 17, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. You know what he says? He says, eventually the real truth is going to come out. You want a simplified version of that? Eventually, the real truth is going to come out. We've been drawn to an all-seeing, all-knowing God, and nothing is hidden to him. And you may have us fooled. You may have yourself fooled. He's not fooled. One writer wrote this, it is impossible in any way permanently to hide where one stands in relation to the gospel. What is hidden will come out sooner or later. That is, if it's really there. The danger is that the man who thinks he has received it, but keeps it hidden and never lets the fact be known, may find one of these later days when he comes to look for the reality of the gospel within his life, that it is in fact not there and never was. That's the scary part of this. In Romans 2, we're told that in the final judgment day, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. And I'm not trying this morning to poke holes in your assurance, cause you to doubt your salvation if you're saved. That's not what I'm here to do. But as your pastor, it's my responsibility to challenge you that if your light isn't shining for Christ, something is wrong. Something isn't right. If you, like the first grader, are still feel sad about that song because you find quite often there's a bushel over your little light, as your pastor, I'm telling you, there's something wrong. Something wrong in your belief, something wrong in your hearing. Something hasn't clicked because it doesn't make sense to have a lamp lit and have it not be shining. He wouldn't light your lamp to hide it. So either there is disobedience, or there's falling away, or there's poor hearing, or there's disbelief. That's what the parable says. So I would call you from this section to check your hearing, check your soil, check your lamp, check the seed. I'm not alone. Look what Luke says in verse 18. Take care then how you hear. Do you see this? This is a warning. He's saying, take care then how you hear. Do you see the overall point coming through? This is the thrust that he's been making. Don't just listen to words. Hear to understand. Understand to believe. Believe to hold fast. Hold fast to bear fruit. Bear fruit as you've been changed by his word, which lights the lamp that shines. Take care how you hear, because he says, for the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Wow, that doesn't sound good. Look how that plays out. For to the one who has what? Good hearing, good soil, light shining, right? That's what he's saying. The one who this is working. Not just hearing, but understanding and believing, accepting, standing fast, allowing the word, the seed, the gospel to bear fruit over time. The lamp is lit and shining. It's not hidden. It's given light to others. To that guy, he gets more. For to this one who has all this, even more will be given. Side note, haven't you found this to be true? I have, in folks that I've seen and in my own life, those seasons where all of this is going right, everything comes together. When you're in his word and you're learning and you're growing and you're putting it to use, you just gain more and more. There's daily growth. It's almost like, you know, we have a fig tree in the backyard. literally, you can go outside and it looks like it's grown 2 inches. That's the kind of growth we have when you're just immersed and you're listening and you're applying. It seems like every day you can see growth. Abundance of insight, overflowing of fruit. We call people that are in the church that are like, oh, they're on fire, right? Oh, they're on fire for the Lord. They're ate up. You talk to someone that's in that season, in that place, they find leakage in God's word, the gospel to everything. Don't they? Every single conversation. You know, God's word in their reading in the morning, God's presence in their prayers in the afternoon, God's hand in all of their relationships, God's spirit in their ministries. What you read this morning is relevant in a conversation tonight. It's stronger. It's deeper. You've been in those seasons, haven't you, where you've just had it where you're really in his word, you're really listening, you're really hearing, you're really applying. And it seems like every conversation, every opportunity, something I read yesterday comes forward from that conversation. There's something that he builds on tomorrow. And you just kind of roll and it's just, wow, it just keeps going. Almost overwhelming. To the one who has, more given. But, scary. From the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. This is the has not. This is the poor of hearing, the unbelieving, the not understanding, the not holding fast, not being changed by the word, not fruitful, lamp hidden, light not shining. From that guy, the one who has not, even what he thinks he has, that's a scary warning inside of a warning, isn't it? Do you hear the language? He is saying that he thinks he has it. Even what he thinks he has, even that will be taken away. Beloved, I've known these people. You know these people. They think they know the truth. They come to church. They take communion. They sit through sermons. They claim to be Christians, but they're not living out their lives in the gospel. They're not making good use of their time or their resources. They're just as angry, selfish, and bitter as they were in the first grade. There's no light shining. There's no fruit growing. And yet they can sit there and say, but I'm okay. God's not finished with me yet. God hasn't started with you yet. Your light should be shining. And it's not to say that we're going to go through seasons of places where we fall and we struggle. But 40 years, 50 years, when we hear this first grade song in our 60s, and it still convicts us the same way it did when we were in the first grade, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Even what they think they have will be taken away. That's scary. And beloved, this isn't a sermon to get you more involved, to get you to do more, because it's not about doing more. Right? It's not about your involvement. It's not about you, oh, all right, well, tomorrow I guess I'm going to go pass out tracts on the pier. That's not what I'm saying. I don't want you to leave here thinking that I must do more. I got to go light my lamp. Because you don't get to light your lamp. He has to light your lamp. And you know how he does it? Through his word. Through the hearing of his word. Not just hearing, but understanding, accepting, believing, holding fast, growing over time, bearing fruit. All of a sudden you find your lamps lit. And it was meant to shine. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Take care how you hear. This section shouts to us that some will hear and some won't. Jesus is talking to those who are gathered to him, right? Those disciples that are following, those disciples that are paying attention, those ones that said, we are with you truly. And he says to them, to you, it's been given to know. You know what's the encouragement in this lesson? Beloved, is that Luke wrote this gospel for the same reason. So that you would know. So that his reader would know. It's not too late, right? It still says, you know, today is today. And so today you should check your hearing, and today you should hear this again. Luke wrote it so that you would hear and to know, so that seeing you would see, hearing you would hear, and you would understand, and you would believe, and you would hold fast to hear this gospel and be saved. Saved that you might shine. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Actually, you know what? Because of the context, I'm going to scare you, and I'm going to add in the verses 21, the one that nobody likes, just so you get the context of 24. Look at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's the precursor to what he says next. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. See, the context is consistent through the Gospels, isn't it? So I'll close by looking at verses 19 to 21. You're thinking, really? We're going to go to that next section? 19 to 21 is this weird little section that a lot of folks don't know how to pull out because it's strange. It makes some people think that Jesus isn't altogether nice to his family. But now I want you to see in context of this, it isn't about him not being nice to his family. He's making a point to his disciples who are gathered around him. He's making a point that carries forth the thrust of what he's been saying through these parables and these teachings. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. He was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. And he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. You see that? He's not belittling his family. He's capping his point. My true family. Right? This last verse, that scary one that says, depart from me because I didn't know you. He's saying, the ones I know, the ones who are my family, the ones who are adopted into this family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, my true family, are those who hear the word of God and do it. Do you see, it's not enough to just sit here week after week after week hearing all of this stuff and getting all this knowledge that puffs up your head so that you walk away going, I really know the Bible. Who cares if you're not doing anything with it? Knowledge of the Bible isn't where it stops. We can spend our life studying and never applying, never taking it out. The light is supposed to be shared for others to see. It isn't for us. It's not a little nightlight that we can sit there and put on our own stuff and hide in our own word and hide in our own church and hide in our own circle. That's not what it is. It's a lamp that's supposed to be lifted up. We're supposed to be taking what we know and sharing it with others. This light is a light that others are supposed to see. My true family are those who hear the word of God and do it. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear and believe and hold fast and be changed and be fruitful